Good afternoon and welcome in to Grant and Danny live from Radio Row in New Orleans, February 5th, 2025, on this Wednesday afternoon. Got a great show planned for you. Danny's back in D.C. I'm out here ahead of Super Bowl 59 at this big, giant NFL party that is Super Bowl week. We've got a wonderful lineup of guests, including Ed McCaffrey, the father now. He's not the Super Bowl champion wide receiver. He's father of Luke McCaffrey for our purposes and Christian McCaffrey. We'll also be talking with Moose Johnston, who runs the United Football League, longtime Dallas Cowboy, Fox Sports, covers the NFL. The voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, is with us today as well. Pac-Man Jones is stopping by. Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. It's going to be a fun day here on Grant and Danny. DR, how are things in the nation's capital?
We're doing just fine. A little cold snap. You know, it wasn't cold was me at basketball last night. Zingers, thams, I was buckets. I will not brag too much, just let you know that I shot the lights out last night. It was a good night of shooting. Don't ask me about ball handling and turnovers and bad defense, because that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is 12 of 17 from three last night. Big night. Big night shooting.
That's what I got for you. Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. It's a huge deal. And nobody saw it. No one cares. But just know that it happened.
No, but I'm glad we're leading the show with it.
Right? Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Super Bowl week, yeah. I get it, but like for a moment, last night at least, it all kind of washed when it was secondary.
Well, while you were shooting hoops, your boy was at the media party here in New Orleans ahead of Super Bowl 59. Darius is about to send you a couple of images I want you to respond to live on the radio. We have kept these images from you.
All right.
We have purposefully not allowed you to see these. I did not post them on social media, Danny. I've done nothing with this content.
Okay.
So that the first time you ever saw it would be live on the radio here on 106.7 The Fan.
Okay.
So, I believe Ryan also has images he can post on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream if you're watching that way. But, Danny, as you get these images, please just tell us what's happening on your phone, what you're seeing.
Okay. Just received. You are holding a giant reptile. This first picture is you. It looks to be either an alligator or a crocodile. It's enormous, so I'm not sure how you're able to hold it. Probably heavy, and look at that. That's unbelievable. Is that an alligator or a crocodile? Which one?
That is a live alligator with no tape on its mouth that I am holding at the Super Bowl party last night. That was probably like a 60-pound gator. It's pretty long. If you saw it on the golf course, you'd be petrified.
Yeah.
And your boy got in line and held it. No one else was willing to do it. Darius, Denton, CK, they all turned it down.
Sure.
But I, this guy, two thumbs, I held an alligator, Danny.
What on earth is the point of that? Like that picture right there. Well, I get it, but nice picture, I guess. That's wild. Okay, so does this alligator, take some sort of drugs to make it not bite people?
So this is what's interesting. This alligator seemed to me to be immensely sedated.
It's very docile.
It was very clear to me that this alligator was drugged up so that it didn't ultimately eat my hand or anything like that, or bite my arm.
Were you instructed how to pick it up and how to carry it so that you're not too close to the teeth of death that take arms off of creatures?
I was not instructed really anything, although when they handed it to me, she did not like where I put my hand and was like, no, don't grab it there. It won't like that. And I'm like, oh, my God, where will it like it? Just tell me.
Where is it comfortable?
What I need to do to make this animal not upset. But it was so sedated that I thought they're not going to. It's like an amusement park.
Okay.
They're not going to let you get on a roller coaster that's going to kill you. And the reason I think that is because it would cost millions of dollars in lawsuits if they were to allow me to die. Or anybody,
or lose a hand or an arm.
But then I realized, you ever been to one of these events, for your kids' preschool celebration or something, where just some guy with four alpaca comes and they're in their back of his van, and you're able to pet the alpaca. This is the New Orleans version of that. It was just some lady who was very wrinkly and just in her. It was for her. It was Tuesday. You know what I mean?
What time do you want me to bring the gator by? I can bring it whenever y'all want. Yeah, no thanks.
And then as she handed it to me, I'm thinking, this thing's borderline unconscious. There's no way they're going to let me hold a gator that's alive. And it starts wiggling and moving a little bit.
Oh.
And she says, I swear to you, she goes, Oh, no. She goes, if he whips his head very quickly back towards you, whatever you do, stay very calm. I'll be here to help you. And I said, what do you mean whips his head? She's like, well, if he whips his head back towards you and starts to look at you. And I'm like, isn't this thing unconscious? Like,
yeah.
So at that point, that's when I decided this is a bad idea. I'm now messing with the wild and
certainly
Mother
is.
Nature.
Certainly is. A terrible idea. Good picture, though. That's cool.
Isn't it a great photo?
It actually is really neat that you have that, but it's not something we should be doing.
Okay, now let's go to picture two, please, Danny Ruye.
All right, here we go.
Picture two from my night at the Super Bowl party
that's
last
it.
Night.
Nope. Wrong.
Open
nope.
your phone.
Did it. I saw it. Nope. Get it off the screen. Get it off. Nope.
Keep it there. Well, tell people what you're seeing, please. It is radio.
A giant symbol of evil. The original sin came from these disgusting slither death monsters. And Grant has a giant, looks like a python kind of thing, around his neck. And wrong. That's what it is.
Danny.
Big snake.
This thing was so big.
Yeah.
At its thickest point above, like, my neck on the collar, so to speak, where it's wrapped around my neck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this thing was probably wider, like, almost the size of maybe bigger than a softball, smaller than a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go, like, small pumpkin at the pumpkin patch or something. It is a giant snake. They kept saying, like, grab its head and point it toward the camera. And, you know, you got to see the eyes in the photo. I refuse to touch it with my hands. You can actually see how unsettled I am in the picture. I just wanted the photo op so that you would have to see it and react to it on the radio. That's the whole point.
So what
Now, Darius refused to do it.
Correctly.
CK, Denton, everyone else was like, I'm not putting that thing on me. I'm like, what's the worst that could possibly happen?
That's adorable.
You'll get a good photo out of it. So that's the photo I got, and I did it for you.
So I am purposely holding my hand up to not look at it. So I'm good on it. I've seen it. I have witnessed it. Thank you for that. Now I'll just be haunted. Ew. Wrong. Terrible. So bad. I hate it so much. I hate this so much. Knowing
how much money would you have needed have put that snake around you?
It would be no person in my family for the next 1,000 years had to lift a finger. We would have so much money that a person would come and lift their finger for them. Like, I'd like to lift my finger right away, sir. And, like, this is my great, 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 and the guy comes running in, and he lifts the pointed finger and then leaves, and that's all he does. Just a finger. That much money. You combine Elon and Bezos and the dude that runs all the brands in Europe, and give me a Sultan's salary.
Arnold or whatever?
Yeah, Bernard Arnault. Yeah, all of that together for that. I can't do that. I can't do it.
So I was not going to do the snake originally until after I held the alligator, which, by the way,
emboldened, yeah.
Holding the alligator was one of the weirdest feelings on my hands that I've ever had. Like, it felt so strange. It's cold underneath.
Yeah, they're cold-blooded.
Kind of soft, almost like a turtle not in a shell, if that plays a little bit.
Yep.
But the reason that originally we got into the let's hold snakes mood was Darius wanted to hold this very white snake. And you backed out.
There's a joke there, and I'm not going to make it.
That's a good point.
Thank you. Yeah.
Good job. Yeah, don't make that
joke. I'm not making that joke.
So I considered it. I did consider it, and it got to the point where she was about to hand me the snake. And then I retracted my hands and said, no, I can't do this. I can't do it. Why would I do that?
I just love – he completely pivoted, Danny, where he's like, going to do it. He waited in line. He had to wait like three or four people.
Because in my head, I was thinking, this will make for – awesome picture. This would be cool for social media.
Look at this picture I have forever.
Yeah, you got a cool picture.
Danny's refusing to look at. I got it literally for Danny.
Yep.
It's the equivalent of me going to the store, buying him a present, wrapping it, bringing it to him, and then he leaves it there and tells me he doesn't want it. That's what's
happening. Get the receipt. Take that thing back. Oh, my God.
I was thinking cool picture for social media, good show content, and then literally, I mean, she was handing me the snake, and I had to pull away. I couldn't do it.
Who are these people?
I couldn't bring myself to do it.
What are these people doing?
And then you just... Completely
was out on it, on the entire experience.
What are these people doing? What decisions? You go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to have snakes, and I'll pass them to strangers at events when there's alcohol served. Rethink your life. Stop this immediately. Stop all of it.
What was stunning, Darius? there weren't that many people in line to do it.
Yeah,
like, I don't know why people weren't. When's the next time you're going to get to hold a gator? And shtick aside, I understand the possibility that it's not as sedated as we think and it bites you or whatever. In my mind, I actually thought about this, Danny. I'm like, there's a chance this thing bites me. Unless it bites me in the throat, I will survive this bite, and I will sue these people for all they're worth. And now I have money for all of my kids, and they are a bountiful lot, to go to college and to have weddings and stuff. That was literally going on. I wasn't going to, like, poke the bear and try to get the gator to bite me.
Yeah,
but
gonna,
I was thinking.
You know, flicking him.
Like, pinching it really hard.
Yeah, talking
like,
trash.
Please bite me, please. But in my mind, I was going, it's going to suck. But, like, I get so much money out of it.
Huh.
So that was kind of my logic going
in. Yeah. Yeah, that's just a different thought process than I'd have there, my friend. I don't know, dude. Yeah, I get why the line was short. No one should be doing this. No to that. I mean, a sedated, like, the lack of respect for the lethal animal is something I will never understand. I will never understand the novelty. I will never understand the idea, like you know, these people like Max Scherzer does this because he's, like, you know, a tough guy. Like, hot girls on Instagram do it, I've been told. I don't see them on my feed, but I've seen other people, like, talk about it. Well, they're like, I went swimming with sharks. Don't do that either. Don't do that. Don't do a magic trick with tigers. Don't get in the lion's cage and, like, start smacking it with a chair and a whip. Stop doing all those things immediately. Lethal animals. That if they decide it's your time, you're done. If that
I respect
gator,
wild animals. You know this about me.
Yes. If that gator said, you know what? Not this guy. It would have won. How do you defend yourself against the gator? You have no idea. Now, you know who else
last
doesn't?
Night,
me either.
It didn't win last night. I can tell you that right now.
It was
now.
Sedated, yeah.
I won last night. Darius, did you ever consider holding the alligator?
I didn't consider one bit. And it's actually funny. My dad's listening, which means that Kevin Sheehan's show is not on right now.
That's right.
But he said, come on, man. What a chicken.
Thank you, Mr. Dameron. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about chickens because Maryland is better than you'd think. Every one of these guys. Kevin's got them holding gators. Sorry. I'm just trying to distract because I'm so uncomfortable.
More on the evening that we had with those animals coming up in just a bit.
Is the picture
Grant
down?
And Danny with you on the fan live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Quick question, actually, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, would Ryan and or Toby have gotten in line and held an alligator or a snake?
I can tell you this much. I would have held the alligator. I would have done that, but I draw the line at the snake, man. I don't know what it is about snakes. I think I'm just scarred from Snakes on the Plane as a kid when I watched that movie. Way too young, by the way. Shout out to my parents on that. And I can't do snakes, but I can do alligators. I think I could do that. I think I'd be fine holding one.
We're joined on site right now at Radio Row by Jay Glazer. You watch him on Fox Sports. How are you? Thanks for stopping through.
Absolutely, man. How you doing?
Good. Appreciate you spending a few minutes. Danny's back in our D.C. studio here.
What up, man?
We were just talking about the fact. So last night at the media party, some lady who's from around here brought like a van of creatures, and I held.
What do you mean van of creatures? Like things like me or like animals?
Well, no, like animals.
Okay.
And I held a big ass alligator.
Okay.
That was very sedated.
Why'd you do that?
Oh, exactly. Well, that's the question.
Exactly.
But when she handed it to me, she's like, if he starts like going towards your head, just don't panic.
Yeah. See, here's what I don't agree with you doing this. Okay. Because what's to say that alligator is a model citizen? You don't know. Maybe this alligator's, you know, had a bad day. Maybe he got in a fight with his wife. I wouldn't be holding something that. Absolutely not.
What about the. So the other.
I'm sure not all alligators are model citizens.
That's very true.
Okay.
What about the snake around the neck bit?
Hell no. I'm not doing that either.
I mean, you fight giant humans. You're like.
But I could talk to them. I can't tell this boa constrictor. Hey, I'm tapping out. I can't do that.
There's no tapping, Jay. There's no tapping.
There's no tapping.
With the lethal animal.
Absolutely. No. Listen, if there's a 1% chance of error, why am I taking that 1% chance? No one's questioning my manhood. I don't need to wrestle with any alligators or snakes. I do enough with these freaking monsters that I wrestle. Yeah.
You were fighting in the cage. Jay Glazer's with us on Grant and Danny
Live.
Right,
I'll take Lane Johnson and Randy Couture every day over a snake and an alligator. No problem.
One of the big newsbreakers in the National Football League. How about the cast that's been put together in D.C.? Mm-hmm. New ownership with Josh Harris taking the team over from Dan Snyder. First-year GM this year, Adam Peters, hit one home run after another. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn with his second opportunity so far, making very good on that chance. And they got the quarterback solved for the first time in 30 years. How about what they've put together at all four of those pillars?
First of all, let's start with the owner, right? Everything starts with culture. And I go and I talk now and even like, groups entrepreneurial. I always talk about cultures in the NFL. And when cultures, when they don't work over and over and over, a lot of times these owners don't look at it inside themselves. Obviously, Dan Snyder was a problem with culture. The Jets, Woody Johnson, it's a problem with that, right? Like, in Cleveland, you have that also. The first time they won in Cleveland under Jimmy Haslam was the year that no one except football was allowed in the building in COVID, right? And it's hard to tell a billionaire that they're the issue, but I also saw it firsthand with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis down here in New Orleans. They taught Mr. Benson how to be an owner, and it, like, he just didn't know any better, right? But a lot of these, I've told owners straight out. I've had really stark conversations with some of these owners of, hey, man, would you trust Andy Reid or Sean McVay or Bill Belichick and decide to run your business? Like, no, Jay, it's totally different. I said, then why do you think you could make a second-round pick? Right? And it's hard to tell a billionaire that sometimes, but they let people in their other business do their job because it's not as much glory and the ego's not, you know, it's not the same ego, right? So here to have a guy like Josh who just comes in, he's like, I'm hiring the right people and you guys do it. It's the right thing. And you're right, like, Adam Peters. I mean, he's learning with John Lynch. Are you kidding me? Fantastic. And he's a relationship builder. Dan Quinn. Somebody asked me here today, what was the biggest, my favorite hire of this coaching cycle? I said, I don't have one of this one, but I had one last time. And Dan Quinn, who all Dan does is build cultures and win, by the way. But, like, I think guys like a Dan Quinn, a Dan Campbell, these guys work better now than ever before because in the past you could beat up on players. You know, you can get after them. You rip the hell out of them, do the Belichick thing. But nowadays, when these guys are getting beat up 1,000 times a second on Twitter and on Instagram, on Facebook, and this and that, you can't do this that to these guys anymore. You know, there needs to be, you know, I talk about mental health. You kind of look at it differently and how to help these guys navigate a scarier world than ever. No one does that better in this league than Dan Quinn.
Jay, how's this offseason going to go for Washington? So normally, first year of a build, you know, you improve slightly, maybe you change the culture, getting rid of some of the old guys that were part of the previous regime, etc. Well, they did that, and then they won 12 games and got the NFC title game. Like, do you think that kind of changes the eye line for this group this offseason?
I think you'll have free agents go, man, I want to go play with them. I want to go in with – and here's the thing with Jaden Daniels. I remember talking to them early in the process. And I think it was right after the combine, even. DQ and Peter's like, no, Jaden, this is the guy. And the reason why, they said every single person you talk to has been around him. All they do is talk about how hard he works. And the blueprint for greatness is all the hours you put in when no one's watching. And look, I've trained hundreds and hundreds of pro athletes in mixed martial arts program that I created in 2007 with our first guy being a long snapper from the Chiefs and a part-time DN named Jared Allen. When I ripped off 15 sacks after we did this whole fight mentality and really opened up his hips and got his hands more violent. And over time, again, we've started to see a change where guys, being famous ain't the same as being great. And everyone's famous now. The only way you used to get endorsements to make Pro Bowls, you had to be great, right? And now everybody's famous because it's social media, and it's not the same work ethic. So when you have a guy like Jaden Daniels that you hear all he does is work, you're going to build for a long time with that guy.
I'm fascinated to get your perspective on something. Jay Glazer's with us. You see him on Fox Sports. He's one of the great reporters breaking down everything going on in the NFL. The Liam Coen 24 hours as a reporter, you know, he's not going to Jacksonville. He's coming back to Tampa. Now he's going back to Jacksonville. The teams don't even know what's going on. The reporter can't possibly know what's going on.
The head coach knew. According to Liam, the head coach knew what's going on.
What do you make of how all that went down?
So there's other parts. When he said his I don't know if I want to put his business out here because he said his kid was sick. And there was certain things.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put – that's a personal thing with him. It wasn't an excuse of his dog ate his homework. No.
But I just mean the whole process. Like,
yeah.
It's messy because I think – these things aren't always linear and clean, but, man, it's a tough look from the outside.
But look what happened with you guys last year. They're supposed to be with Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then Dunnett pulls it. And you guys should be thanking God that that happened because then all of a sudden there's Dan Quinn. I remember Adam Peters being at the Senior Bowl and me and John Lynch calling him to, dude, screw the scouting players, man. Go hire Dan Quinn. Go over there. He's there. Like, and yeah, sometimes, you know, the things that don't happen, nothing's, a lot of things aren't just clean. You know, there's a lot of back channel stuff. But I even talked to the GM of the Bucks when he said, hey, we're going to kind of tell Liam, we're going to make him the highest paid offensive coordinator in the NFL, but he has to pull his name out of that. I said, don't do that, dude. That's like on Shark Tank when somebody gives you this offer and they go, well, you got to take it now. You can't listen to the other sharks. Like, don't do that, man. Just either, like, he stays. I said, even if you give him and you give him a bump for this year, he's going to be a head coach next year, right? So you're not going to get stuck with this huge thing. But they want to do whatever they could do to try to make sure that they got him there and that shows the value of Liam. And I knew Liam on a different level. He lived with Sean McVay for a while. And Sean lived by me. And Sean's one of the first coaches I really helped with mental health. Dan Quinn is too. And so I spent a lot of time with
Sean. What did you do for Dan with mental health? I'm not familiar.
Oh, man. When Dan got fired from the Falcons, I've known Dan since he was with the 49ers in like 99 or something. And he's such a good dude. And knew he was struggling because the first time he didn't have a team, I set up a Zoom with 50 people, combat vets, athletes, ex-players, all this, to be there for him, pick him up in what was his darkest time.
Wow.
But he also brought me in this year to talk to the entire Washington team about mental health. And, you know, my message to these guys is, look, again, I started training these guys in mixed martial arts, and my whole thing of our unbreakable mindset was, if you are hurt or tired, you will never, ever, ever know. And we got this from my partner in this, Randy Couture, where, like, our fighters can't take a stool in between rounds, right? Because we're not going to show it. We're not going to show it. We're not going to show it. And you need that in football and fighting. But outside that cage, outside those lines, that same mindset all us dudes are brought up with gets people like me to freaking crawl up in a corner of my room and cry in the fetal position for no reason, just because I have depression, anxiety, and bipolar, and ADHD, and I fought this by myself for a long time. And I say, look, I know we're not ingrained to talk to each other about it, but you guys take mental health so reactively, where you got 15 strength coaches and trainers here for the physical part. You only have to have a therapist in the building 3 days a week, according to CBA. That's it. Where everything starts in these 6 inches between your ears, good and bad. So I said, it makes no sense. You guys probably don't think, well, there's enough therapists. There are. You got 53 sitting in this room right next to you. And think how much closer this will make you if you can lean into each other. Think of that brotherhood. That's a fight team. And again, me opening up about mental health, it's turned friends into brothers. It's like I would never. And like my best friend's Michael Strahan. This dude drove me back in New York City every single day for 7 years because I had enough money back and then I was making $9,000 a year to go to New York City, Giant Stadium, back every day. I never said a word to him. When I had my meltdowns, I would pop Vicodin, take Adderall, drink. I'd rather get arrested or get in trouble for having an outburst than have anybody know I had depression, anxiety. Mm. Think how backwards that is, right? Yeah. So first time I ever said anything was 4 years ago. And first time ever, 30 years. I said, bro, I can't go out tonight, man. The beast got out of the box. And he's like, you want to talk about it? I was like, whoa. I said, I do, but not now, because it kicked my ass. Like, when my depression and anxiety get bad, I feel it in my joints, left side of my gut, behind my rib cage. It's hard. I said, I just want to sleep this one off. And he says, you want me to come over and be there with you? And I was like, again, I didn't expect this. I said, no. And he says, why have you never told me? I said, I don't make the rules up of this thing, this shame, man, but I was ashamed with you. And he said to me probably the most powerful thing anybody's ever said. He said, you think you're being a bother. You're not. You took away my chance to be your best friend for 30 years by not saying anything to me. Think how powerful that is. So that's why I go and tell these teams. And then I also, like, I describe it. Like, I tell these coaches, and I'm here to talk about ADHD today. Look, I was diagnosed with ADHD in 1989. And when you have ADHD, and I'm sitting in something, and I was told I had a learning disability. I don't have a learning disability. I just don't learn the way you teach. I can't sit in a three-hour lecture. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you punish me, I am not capable. And it's like you're drowning. And my only way for breath of fresh air is to fidget, is to have an outburst, is to talk, is to whatever, right? And you think I want to get grounded every week? No. And I told Washington coaches, your players, you think they want to get fined for not being able to sit in this? No. But you got to figure out a way to coach these guys and be more understanding of this. And we're talking about it now. So not every square pegs don't fit in round holes. So I'm proud to be able to carry this torch and talk about it. But think how cool this is that I'm in a room with 100 of the baddest cats on the planet. And I'm sitting there crying up there. We're talking about it. And I've had a lot of players text me since on that team, lean into each other. It's beautiful. Like I said, these friendships have turned into brotherhoods because I've been able to talk about it. And then by me opening up about it, I finally found something that works for my ADHD. There's a drug called Qelbree, which in the past I was put on stimulants. And with my level of depression, anxiety, and the bipolar, those stimulants for me made me really violent and bad and dark. And I pushed away a lot of good people in my life, unfortunately. And I have a lot of regrets on that. And to have this and that. But I'm like, I will, because I talk about it so much, something else comes out, great, I'll try it, I'll do it. I can pull myself out of this, no problem. And Qelbree is the first thing, I actually take it at night. And it calms me, and it focuses me, and it gives me relief from something I really never have relief from.
Well, it's powerful. Jay, thank you for the insight.
Jay, thank you.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
DC, as you know, with Dan Quinn, he's got a good thing going right now. Appreciate all of the info and information on his background with DQ as well. Next is we're live in Radio Row in New Orleans. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Jaden Daniels is making the rounds today. He's doing some, you know, the big time shows, television shows nationally. He might be the biggest star in this room, Danny, already. I want to talk about that next on the Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny's in our Half Street Studios. I'm out here in New Orleans ahead of Super Bowl 59 on Media Row. And we found one of our buddies, Albert Breer. Nobody has over the years come on our show after breaking news more to discuss what Washington's been up to than Albert. And he just sat down and he said, "How does it feel to not cover a bad team anymore?"
It's weird.
That's kind of
weird.
I think it was more colorful than that.
Yes, it was slightly.
How does it feel not to cover a crap show anymore?
Right.
So, yeah.
I did the radio friendly version. It's weird, man. I'm out here this week and everyone's coming up going, "I thought you guys might be here." It's hitting me all over again how close they got. And they weren't that close. They gave up 55 in the NFC title game, but they played in a championship game.
Which is wild, yeah. I mean, I think you guys know what I think AP and DQ, and I thought they'd get it right eventually. If I'm being honest, I believe I picked them to finish last in the division. I don't think anybody would have argued with that at the time. And I thought they were probably, like, to me, I would have thought a win for them this year would have been like a 5 or 6 win season where they're showing, like, real promise at the end. Like, that's what I thought it was. And, God, I mean, like, they're in the NFC title game, so... it's pretty crazy how far they came in just a year.
So two things. One, I'm watching Albert on FS1 right now do a hit. I'm watching him here live on YouTube.
So that's not live, because this is live, Danny. He is here
I understand
right
that,
now.
But it's weird. It's a lot of Albert in my eye line, and I like it. I'm here for it. How does it change kind of the optics going forward, Albert, though? It's kind of the point. Like, if they don't go to the NFC title game next year, they could be good. They could even be better than they were this year, probably on paper, talent-wise, or whatever. But now, how does that sort of affect their process, building, and kind of their identity?
I mean, the best answer I could give you is that it shouldn't. And I know that sounds weird, but like I still think like they're a ways away from where they need to be from a roster standpoint to win a championship. And it might be difficult to get there in another single offseason. I think when they got there, it was a multi-offseason rebuild. They were able to do some things to accelerate it by bringing in a huge number of guys that they had connections with, like Zach Ertz, who played for Cliff Kingsbury, Biotish, Doris Armstrong, Dante Fowler were with DQ in Dallas, and Joe Witt as well. Bobby Wagner obviously goes back with DQ all the way to Seattle. you know, Austin Ekeler was with Anthony Lynn. Nick Allegretti had a connection. You know, there was a connection there through Shane Taube, who's Dave Taube's son. So there just so much of it was, all right, like, what do we need to do to get ourselves in a position where we can be competitive on a week-to-week basis? And they were able to take it way further than anybody thought they could. I don't know if that doesn't mean that they still have a need at tackle, that they still have a need at edge rusher. I mean, we'll see at corner. I think, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, if he can stay healthy, he's a high-level corner. But as you guys saw, you know, like, that's always been an open question with him. So when I say it shouldn't affect the way that they conduct themselves, they obviously had a good plan to get things off the ground. And I've seen before where an owner or people involved in the building process can, you know, kind of get that whiff of, like, getting close to a Lombardi and go hog wild. And I don't know that that's the answer for them right now. I think what they can do is take advantage of having Jaden Daniels on a rookie contract in that window that they're in, where they can start to spend and target certain pieces.
Let me jump in, because I want to ask you about a piece potentially. Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter for MMQB. You see him on Amazon NFL on Prime. Miles Garrett has been linked to Washington in the sense of, if he's traded, they would make sense. Do you think they actually trade him? You're super plugged in with Cleveland.
I don't think that's their intention. I don't think there's their intention at all. You know, and I think
so. This is just the I went out and they say.
Well, that's part of the reason why it became public. I mean, it became it had been, I think, in for over a week, the trade request. And, you know, I think Miles Garrett made it public because he was hitting a brick wall with it, you know. And so what do you do in that case? Well, you know, if you make it public, then really there's nothing more that that the Browns need to do then. You know, so you're basically doing the Browns' work for them, and that, you know, I think more than half the league is probably going to call Andrew Berry, and they're going to see what his market value is. So, you know, I think Miles Garrett handling this the way he did was smart, because it's now we get to – now the Browns are going to get to see exactly what they could get from me without shopping me, and maybe they'll be motivated to make a move. I mean,
Who would say no about, say, Washington's next two ones for Garrett? Is that not enough, or is that?
I think that would be the starting point. I think
more
I think the baseline is two ones, and I think you'd need to go beyond that because they don't intend to trade him. You know, and so, you know, I looked at, like, some of the history of this, and you know, Laremy Tunsil and Jamal Adams, and you know, Jalen Ramsey is probably the closest, but he was way younger than Miles Garrett, and he was. I believe it was two ones and a four, maybe. I think that was the trade. So, you know, I think that the baseline has to be two first round picks, and then I think to convince them to actually move him, you're talking about more than that. And where your pick is affects that. Hard to believe the Commanders have a lower pick than the
Lions. 29,
amazing, right?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, if you have to look at it, obviously. You know, when you're talking about a first-round pick, say, you know, I don't know, Atlanta badly needs a pass rusher. So where's Atlanta's pick in the first round? Having a higher pick in this situation is obviously going to mean that you've got to add less in addition to the first-round pick.
Albert, give me a 30,000-foot kind of thought here on the Super Bowl. And then out of the Super Bowl, what's the trend that every NFL team is going to try to copy based on the participants?
Yeah, I'd say, like, my 30,000-foot view of the Super Bowl is the Eagles are the better roster, but the Chiefs have Mahomes and Reed and Kelsey and Jones. And, you know, I think there are, like, a couple little things that will help determine this game. One is what the Chiefs do with Joe Tooney, you know, and do they move him back inside to deal with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Milton Williams. So that'd be one big thing to watch. You know, and then I think the Chiefs will try to get their speed, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, matched up on some of the guys that the Eagles line up inside. You know, so Cooper DeJean and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So I think there are some cool matchup stuff. There's some cool matchup stuff here. I'm picking the Chiefs because I now have a no picking against Mahomes and Reed policy.
You and me both.
It's a good policy.
I put that into a place a year ago, then I violated it before the AFC title game, so I'm not going to do that again. And then I'd say, like, the trend. Well, the Chiefs, it's like, go find a Hall of Fame.
They just do that, right?
That doesn't really work. You know, I think one thing the Eagles have been so good at, like, that's really hard to do, is their asset management is off the charts good. And they always have a lot of their development and their investment back into their program and their ability to build depth is outstanding. And I think, you know, if there's something to learn from them, it's how they pull every single lever. I mean, you know, they strike out too, like everybody else. Like, they drafted receivers in back-to-back years, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor in the first two rounds. They passed on Justin Jefferson to draft Reagor. And that would be devastating for a lot of teams, but they kept chipping away. They drafted Devontae Smith the next year and traded for A.J. Brown the year after that. They struck out on Andre Dillard in the first round of the draft. Well, they drafted Jordan Mulata and developed him. So, and then, you know, like, to fill in the blanks, they go and get a guy like a Zach Bond. You know what I mean? Like a mid-level free agent. They go and get...
Turns into a first-team all-pro.
Yeah, they get somebody else's bust in Mekhi Becton and turn him into a really good guard. You know, I just think it's like the lesson is you invest deeply in your operation, and you're looking around every corner for draft picks. And so for other organizations, this isn't easy. You know what I mean? It's either go find a Hall of Fame coach and Hall of Fame quarterback and pair them together, which is really hard to do, or just invest so deeply and pull every lever constantly and fix your mistakes and – look, like, the Eagles are here again for the second time in 2 years. And I think as much as anything else, it's an organizational triumph in Philly. And it's just about how well-rounded and how well-funded and how well-established their way of doing things is.
It's good to see you, Albert.
Absolutely,
appreciate
guys.
A couple of minutes.
Thanks,
Albert. Enjoy the week. There is a game at the end of all of this on Sunday, so it's nice to talk to you about it. Jaden Daniels might be the biggest star at Radio Row today in New Orleans. We'll discuss that next on Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, live in New Orleans ahead of Super Bowl 59 at Radio Row. I guess now it's Media Row. Nobody just does radio. There's cameras and lights, and even the radio shows are more than just radio shows.
I know, man.
But
the world has changed.
Out and about on Media Row, Danny. Darius and I were talking about this today. We saw Jaden Daniels walking around. He was the guy, think Shohei Ohtani at the MLB All-Star game, where everyone in the room's head turns and goes, "Who's that?" Because just a crowd of people are following him wherever he goes. Uh-huh. Just a wave of humanity. And he's rolling 10 deep with an entourage, by the way. I saw his mom and a bunch of people were kind of with him as he's going stop to stop today.
10 might be shortchanging it.
Yeah, but there were a lot of people that are following him all over this building. And everyone's like, "Well, who is that? Where is he going?" It's Jaden Daniels. And I legitimately think of everyone that we've seen so far out here in just the athletics fields, not necessarily – you know, actors, actresses, whatever. I saw Bert Kreischer and some celebrities in that regard. Jaden Daniels is the biggest star here so far this week. Think
about
that.
Isn't that so cool?
Washington's rookie quarterback is the most sought-after interview and the most beloved NFL star in New Orleans right now.
So there are certain people in life where, let's say you're a space alien or lived in a pod or were in a coma for the last however many years, and you wake up and you see somebody going... And you see someone in person like that, where you go, this tall, handsome, billion-dollar smile, you just, that's somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could just instinctively tell, and then you add in the fact that the rhetoric isn't just for Instagram, it's not just for the occasional interview, it's all the time, it's 24/7. Oh, and by the way, incredible quarterback play at the most important position in sports, and you've got this combination. It's so, yes, it's just so refreshing and so wonderful. And I'm trying not to take it for granted for even a single second. My mind wanders and it strays, and I think about other matters of sport and football and, you know, what we've all got going on. But the gift, the thing that I have begged for since Joe Theismann broke his leg, we got it. Like, it's him. That is the number one rising star in the league. Full stop.
Well, here's another way to put it. I've gone on 2 shows as the guest on Radio Row,
mm-hmm.
just to talk about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
The last time that would have been possible for anyone in D.C. to have been interesting enough for someone who covers that team to be a guest to talk about a player is Robert Griffin. In 2012.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 12 years back, and that was a season, and then it crashed and burned. But there has been nothing like this back home, and everybody says the same thing. And it's, frankly, the takeaway that I have, and I'm sure you have, which is how humble he comes off, how well he handled himself as a rookie, and how hard he works. We've been talking about it all season, the 5 a.m. arrivals, the hours he puts in the film room. Now, I don't want to talk ill of the late Dwayne Haskins, but, you know, we kind of heard early on, he's not getting there early enough. The work isn't there. Or with Robert Griffin, there are questions about these things. With Jaden Daniels, before he ever stepped foot on the practice field, Danny, they already thought that they had hit a home run because of everything that he controls that has nothing to do with football.
You said the word control. All you can do is all you can do. Like your this is for anybody. Your day-to-day, everything that you can control, right? You can't control how quickly you fall asleep, but you can control when your head hits the pillow. You know what I mean? Like, you do everything possible to be great and take your chances. And he does. Checks all the boxes. And it's so awesome. And, yeah, as you said, I would have loved to have been able to see it, right? Just everybody's head turned and, like, there's a buzz in the room when he walks in. That's so refreshing. That's so neat.
He's Danny Rue. I'm Grant Paulson. You are locked into the Fan and G&D today. We've got tickets to see the weekend at Northwest Stadium. It's still weird to say, by the way.
Yeah.
That's at 4 o'clock, a little over an hour from right now on the Fan. Ed McCaffrey, Luke and Christian's papa, is stopping by in the 4 o'clock hour. Moose Johnston, who runs the United Football League, is with us at 5 o'clock. The voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holt, is today, all from Radio Row as well. I see Pac-Man Jones in the area. He's going to be stopping through. And I want to launch, based on our conversation with Pac-Man, who's always very opinionated on cornerback play, into a discussion with you, Danny, next hour, on how Washington fixes its cornerback problem. Other than just Marshawn Lattimore improving, what else do they need to do in a division with some tremendous receivers to get better at that position? We'll do that next as we continue on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.